This is Learning Innovation, the Teaching and Learning Podcast, also known as Little Pod. We are created by Lethbridge College's Center for Teaching, Learning, and Innovation, located in Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, on the traditional lands of the Blackfoot Confederacy, in the spirit of equity, diversity, and inclusion, and Niitsitapi Simstan, or Real Thinking. We play host to a spectrum of guests from the teaching and learning community. As we highlight and explore innovation in education, we hope to kindle warm conversations, expand perspectives, and foster lasting partnerships today, tomorrow, and beyond. The future of learning starts now. Okie, and welcome to episode number 55 of The Little Pod. Today, we're talking with Joshua Hill, an instructor at Lethbridge College, who's been busy developing a course on environmental psychology and conservation. Josh will share details about this innovative course and outline the steps he took to build it, including leveraging the Scholarship of Teaching and Learning, SOTL, to help bring his idea to life. Welcome, Joshua.
Thank you for having me on the podcast.
And I should actually say welcome back, because you've been on the podcast previously in episode 19.
Yes.
And that was a very fun and very interesting conversation. So I'm quite excited about learning about the course that you're developing.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me again.
So, okay, I'm curious, what is this course on environmental psychology? It sounds absolutely fascinating.
So, environmental psychology is designed to provide students with an understanding of the psychological mechanisms and motivations that really underlie our human behavior and interactions towards wildlife. More broadly, you know, to influence people's choices for sustainable living. And oftentimes, when it comes to the conversation of sustainable living and conservation, we separate those things, but it's really one and the same. And so developing a course that will be able to facilitate students' needs and industry needs to say, hey, you know what, come and learn about how you can interact with the environment and what ways would promote more sustainable living for humans and wildlife.
So those topics sound to me like they must cover a lot of ground. Can you talk about the learning outcomes and the gaps that this course fills for students?
Yeah, sure. So the learning outcomes are designed to fill the gaps, including evaluating your environment. So when you go into a room, like even the room we're in now, or a classroom, or maybe you're out in the wilderness and, you know, wildlife, or in the city, all these things, you evaluate your environment on a couple of different parameters. And sometimes the environment actually promotes a certain style of behavior or certain behavior types, right? Like if you go to a rock concert, then you are more apt to jumping and shouting and screaming and yelling. If you're in a library, not so much, right? And so you can see that just the environment itself would promote certain types of behavior. And so when it comes to understanding how we experience wildlife, even in an urban center, what does it look like when the deer are walking across scenic in Lethbridge in particular, right? And so do you get mad? Do you slow down? Do you speed up? How do you react to those types of things? And why do you react that way? Right. So analyzing this human wildlife coexistence piece, there has been literature in the past on that, but to allow, or I should say, and we should better inform students who are going into conservation and those types of fields of what those interactions are going to be like, and then also how to have that conversation with people. So developing conservation strategies, having case studies to say, well, this is a scenario that we face in Lethbridge, deer crossing scenic. Do we need to, or how can we either monitor the movement of the deer, you know, alter the movement of the deer, or adjust the movement of people and that perception and piece of people. And so we talk about those things. And that ties into that sustainable choice, right? We don't want to, you know, just mow over the deer on scenic. That's not going to be good for a lot of reasons. And so how do we promote that in a positive way? And then how do we communicate that to people? Is it signage, right? Does a sign make a difference? Or is it something that involves more education? Or is it something that, you know, we have different activities like Explore YQL, which is the thing that Runner Soul does? Maybe we have an Explore YQL that is wildlife focused, right? And then they can run around it. So those types of communications and outreach programs are a part of the course. And then another piece is this fieldwork component where the Waterton Biosphere Group, you know, maybe connecting, the goal is to connect with them and say, what needs do you specifically have? What positive things do you see? And what positive maybe conservation strategies have you used? And then we look at case studies that they have done and that they are doing. In fact, they just started another one, just barely it came out in the news this last week, where there's a substantial amount of funding to help the farmers in the area with the increase in grizzly bears and wolves, right? And so why did that funding go there? What's the purpose of that? And so we can evaluate those case studies and then talk to the people involved to better help the students understand this is what the work is about, right? This is what it's all about. And then the ethical considerations, hugely important to try and understand what things you can and can't do and what the boundaries are therein. So yeah, those are the outcomes that we're trying to help students understand a little bit more of.
I can see where students would be quite excited about taking a course like this. So many fascinating topics. Where did your passion come from for conservation and sustainability and communication? Because when we last talked on the podcast, we were talking about psychology. And then I believe you have an electrician background as well.
That's right. So I'm all about practical solutions to problems. That probably stems from my trades background of I love theory. I love studying theory. And that's really fun. But I also want a solution to solve some problem that we're facing. And there's so many different issues that you can choose from that for me, when I was looking at my master's program and what I wanted to study, this project of understanding people's perceptions and attitudes towards urban wildlife came to the forefront. And so that's what I studied for my master's degree. And that's where that passion came from of, well, why do you like the deer or hate the deer? Deer are the most highly contested animal in the city of Lethbridge. And what I mean by that is that when I asked people what animals they preferred to have in their neighborhood and what animals they did not prefer, deer was the top in both realms. It was the most highly contested animal. And so it did come off as, you know, when you compare the two of them, negative versus positive interactions, the positive won out, which was great. And so then I asked why. Why do you want them or not want them? And they wanted them for reasons of they're cute. And this other construct, which I didn't get into in my master's, which is this awe for wildlife. That was a big piece that came out in the qualitative analysis. But that's really what spearheaded this idea for me of, you know, we need to have a better understanding of how we're interacting with the wildlife in our community, so that we can have these enriching experiences with the wildlife in our community. And that's really what spearheaded it for me.
It's just absolutely fascinating to me. I wonder if a component of your course is going to look at pets, because like I have a dog and a lot of my friends have dogs. And so the interactions with wildlife vary from, you know, the dogs are interested in chasing deer, or somebody's got a raccoon on top of their fence and it's causing their dog to bark and whatnot.
Right. So that will be a part of the course as we discuss the urban component, particularly, because that's where the most conflict might come from having a pet. And like you just brought up, raccoons and the interactions they're in, or the deer and those types of things. And so, yeah, we'll talk about those case studies and what can you do, right? Ultimately, what can you do in those scenarios? Do you shoo the raccoon away? Do you bring your dog in the house? You know, we have to alter behavior because of that scenario in some meaningful way. And so, yeah, we talk about those things in the course.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because I can see the psychology, the human psychology coming in over that too. I know a friend of mine posted exactly about the raccoon the other night. She was frustrated because it was on her fence. So When will the course be launched? You're starting to work on it. And
so it goes for Dean's approval next week. So the aim is to launch it in January of 2025. Because there is a field trip component to it, we want to tap into the different resources that are around us, and the time of year is important. So it'll probably be a course that is almost exclusively held in January because of that reason, with the field study and those types of things going on. And so, yeah, it's not launched yet, but hopeful for next January.
And so do you remember the moment when you realized the need for creating an environmental psychology and conservation course?
Yeah. So I was sitting with some faculty members here at the college, and we were discussing the human dimension of wildlife element of conservation in particular. So they teach in the conservation and forestry sciences. And so what was interesting is there seemed to be this lack of exposure to the psychological component of it. That yes, they gain the policy component and they learn the laws and the ethics and those types of things. But that psychological motivation for someone to choose one behavior over another in a wildlife setting or a wildlife interaction, that seemed to be lacking in one degree or another. So yeah, that's where it started. We had that discussion, and then, you know, how would we build this course and what would that look like? Those discussions just kept falling down the line. And it really, so that was last year that I had those types of discussions. And then this year, I was talking with another colleague, just sitting at Tim's, having a good chat, after the bear attack near Banff, and which was really distressing for this individual, as it, you know, should be. And so I said to this individual, well, my master's degree is somewhat along these lines of understanding the relationship between wildlife and human interactions and what the perceptions and attitudes that people have and what type of behavior they choose in certain scenarios. And so maybe we could build a course. And this individual said, yeah, absolutely. Let's do this. So that was really fun to be able to take that, you know, negative experience and build something positive from it.
And so it's, you know, I've been involved in many course builds, and it's great to have this idea, but then you've got the work of actually building the course. So what happened next, and how did SODL play a role in that?
So once I realized I wanted to develop this course, I started asking a lot of questions, like how do I start and what does the process look like and who do I talk to? And because I had already worked with the individuals in CTLI, or the Center for Teaching, Learning, and Innovation, I was able to go to them as my first human resource, but they weren't the first resource I went to. I went to ChatGPT first. And so I took this idea of building this course and I plugged it into ChatGPT, and I said something to the effect of, I want to build a college level course that has to do with these learning outcomes, you know, kind of build me a structure in a course based on those things. And then I took that document, reviewed it, and then put it back through chat again. And can you add more of this and less of that? And can you change this and more of this? And so once I tweaked it a few times and then edited it afterwards, that's when I went to the folks at CTLI. And it happened to be that I was walking in the hallway, and Jaden, who is a part of the CTLI team and super smart, we were just chatting about this idea of me creating a course. And I said to him, hey, this is what I'm building. It's going to be super fun and I'm excited. And he said, can I help? And once again, we already had a relationship. So it was super easy for me to say, absolutely, please, like, jump on board. And I knew Brianne from CTLI as well. And so I emailed both of them a copy of that document, and then they were able to provide edits for me, which was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And the experience and exposure that they have with course building and curriculum development and those things is so instrumental in enabling me, who knows very little about those things, to clean up the details, really. Because I gave them a messy course. And then they clean up the details, which was absolutely fantastic.
And so where did the SODL, the Scholarship of Teaching and Learning, where did that piece come in?
So that piece was specific to the information that Jaden and Brianne was able to impart. They were able to look at the curriculum, look at the course itself and say, are your goals too broad? Is this course too big? Can we and do we need to pare it down? And so in that regard, it was really helpful because I have all these lofty ideas of things that I want to do. So it was really helpful for them to just simplify in one regard. Hey, you need to just simmer down and focus on these elements of the course. And instead of directing me specifically to the elements, they would ask questions. You know, what do you want your primary driver of this course to be? What do you want your primary focus of this course to be? And maybe focus on those things.
That's wonderful because, yeah, it's very easy with courses, especially with a course like this. I could see where it could just expand and yeah, that's fantastic. So we should just back up a wee bit here. So when we're talking about SODL, when you first heard about SODL, what did that mean for you?
At first, I had no idea. I thought, what is this scholarship of teaching and learning thing? And so as I experienced SODL, less from, you know, I read what SODL was, but experienced what SODL is, it turned out to be this really neat exchange between an individual like myself who is a subject matter expert and knows kind of the ins and outs of the topic material, but really isn't good at curriculum design and looking at the student outcome component of it. You know, I'd load up the students with a ton of work and be like, hey, we're great. We can do this. It's fine. And they'd panic day one. So to have that feedback piece and have them ask me what type of relationship I wanted to have with them, that was a really neat moment because, you know, Jaden was just like, hey, how far do you want me to take this? And I said, well, right now, if you could edit it on these, you know, parameters, that would be amazing. And he stuck to those parameters and politely said, hey, do you want to add these other elements? He knows about sustainability and those types of things. And so were these things that you want to also put in your course? And we had a good conversation about that. So having that resource to help pare down my excitement and give me and the students realistic expectations for a course that, like you said at the beginning, can encompass a lot of material. It is broad. Environmental psychology is an extremely broad topic. You know, like I said at the beginning, from urban design, right? how rooms are designed, the library versus the rock concert design, all the way to your exposure and experience with wildlife. And having those conversations with them really brought to light their expertise in understanding, you know, curriculum and students. So that was fantastic.
That's wonderful because, yeah, it just makes a course much stronger to have that analysis and that view and, you know, bring together your skills with their skills.
Yes.
So where are you at in the process now?
So right now, I just received my second set of edits. It's third set, fourth set. So I received my fourth set of edits from other industry experts around the province. One was an instructor here at the college or is an instructor here at the college. And then we reached out to individuals from Alberta Parks and the Waterton Biosphere and others. And so I am going through the course now and looking at that, the outline that I have currently made and designated as my final outline, and realizing that from industry, they have slightly different needs than what I have currently put in the course outline. And so to modify those and to pay attention to the terminology that's used, because in the field of environmental psychology and specifically with conservation and wildlife, the terms are really, really important to get right. The definitions are broad sometimes. They're overly expansive. And so to bring those in, to narrow those down, to say, when I say wildlife conservation, this is what I'm talking about. When I say coexistence with wild, this is what I'm talking about. When I say human-wildlife interactions, these are the things that I'm talking about. And so to narrow those, that scope down, once again, so that the course can be more digestible for students and and ultimately in the end, most beneficial for them. Because ultimately, that's what the course is for, is for the students to leave this course and say, I have a new skill set now. I now know something I didn't before, but I also know how to apply this in industry, as opposed to just the theory piece. Because one, I love the practical application of things. And having that industry input was so, so informative. And I received an email as early as yesterday from one of these individuals. And so, yep, going through the edits, that's where we're at. But I will be meeting with the associate dean sometime this week or early next week to clean up those details, make the course honed in once again a little bit better. And then it goes to Dean's Council. And so after that, I sit and wait.
Oh, that's that's very exciting and a little nerve-wracking as well.
Yeah.
It sounds like the course is helping to create that connection too between sort of the plain common language and the technical industry language.
Right. And that's one thing that there is a disconnect between when it comes to what we say, you know, culturally and colloquially, and just what are the words we throw around when it comes to wildlife and our interactions with them compared to industry. And so to marry those two a little bit more would be helpful, because then the communication can be more sound. And when people read articles that come out in the CBC of this is why all this money is going to the Waterton biosphere, they don't panic. They understand that there's something, there's a deeper level of knowing. And hopefully they can become a part of that.
So this course, it will be an elective course?
So yes, it'll be an elective course.
And for which programs?
It'll be an elective course for the general studies students and for the conservation science students.
Okay. And okay, so that a wide variety of students might be able to. That's very exciting. I could sign up for that course.
Yes, you could.
Just going back to SODL for a minute, what did that really help with versus building the course, say, without that support and scholarship?
So when it comes to the support of SODL, the course without that support would be too broad. It would be far too much for the students to gain in a 12-week course. So we're posing this as a 12-week course right now because of the conservation science students and their field trip period that they have. So we want to accommodate for that. 12 weeks isn't a long time to get a lot of theory in and the case studies and the field trip thing, all those things. So without their help, it would have been far too broad and really unmanageable. And so it was nice to have them bring it down to a manageable piece of a document, first of all, and then ultimately this course, ultimately. So yeah.
Yeah, you're right. 12 weeks really isn't that long. And, you know, for any students, it once that semester gets rolling, it goes fast. So yeah. Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. Do you hope to be teaching the course? I don't know if you can say that now or not.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So currently right now I'm pegged to be the one to teach the course. It makes the most sense. It lines up with, you know, my master's degree and the other expertise that I currently have. So yeah.
Oh, what a fun course that will be to teach.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I'm so excited.
Well, thank you very much, Josh, for joining me today. As last time, this was a fascinating conversation and I'm super interested in this course. Is there anything else that you'd like to add about the course? You know, for anyone who's listening who might be interested in the course or in SODL as well, in pursuing maybe a topic that they're really passionate about.
It's hard in developing a course like this because originally it was to facilitate a need in conservation, and then it broadened out to psychology generally and is housed actually in psychology or CBAS. And so what's really interesting to me is I was trying to, at the beginning, accommodate all of the needs. And because I'm like, oh, it'll just be conservation. Oh, no, it'll be psychology. Okay, it'll be everybody. And so with the feedback that I just got yesterday, it was, you need to ultimately choose a focus because it's 12 weeks. And this is from somebody who teaches on an international level for the Wildlife Conservation International Group. And so she just goes, like, pick a focus and then do that. So yeah, well, the nice thing about it being as open as it is the students get to choose their project. So do you want to talk about things in Lethbridge? Great. You want to go talk about Waterton? Perfect. You want to talk about Banff? No problem. Right? And so they'll look at those case studies. And that's what's going to be nice about the course, is that they can do something that's of interest to them. So yeah, it's really going to be fun.
That makes a big difference too for the students.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that if you're a student listening to this and you're wondering, should I go and take environmental psychology? If you want to gain practical knowledge or a practical sense of how to apply all the psychological knowledge that you've gained, this is going to be a great course. We are posing it as a science as well. It has a lab component to it as well. So it's really that practical piece that we're going to be focusing on. Yes, you have to gain all the theoretical knowledge, or else you're not going to know what to apply. So for psych students, that's going to be a little bit of a leg up. They'll already know some of the social psychology concepts and those types of things. And for the conservation students, it's going to be a leg up because they know the wildlife things. And so I hope to be able to fill in the gaps for each of those groups of students and then give them exposure and experience to different case studies and opportunities to say, now show me what you're going to do with that knowledge. So really good for the student piece. When it comes to instructors thinking of building courses, oh, just do it. You just got to dive in. Use ChatGPT like I did. It was so amazing to have that. You know, normally that process would probably take a week or two, and I had it done in 15 minutes. Right? When you come up with all the ideas and what you want to put in, I was just able to critique the ideas that I was given and say, nope, those are the things that I don't want, and these are the ones that I do. And start there and then go to SODL and just use them. They're so helpful and so kind, and they will give you the type of input and support that you want and that you're seeking, right? Because they establish that relationship with you. So you just got to do it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Josh.
Thank you.
This episode featured Donna McLaughlin as host and Josh Hill as guest. Jordana Gagnon was our producer. Ryan Robinson was our sound technician and editor. Our podcast is funded by Lethbridge College's Center for Teaching, Learning, and Innovation and recorded on the traditional lands of the Blackfoot Confederacy. For more episodes, head to our website, learninginnovation.ca. Thanks for listening and take care.